Right, family, today's topic that I want to talk to you is came out of long life lesson. And I call this topic, the heart that shapes reality. Please understand, before I dive into this really unique, interesting revelation, first thing I want to ask you a question. Does anybody want to be successful, blessed? Anybody? A few people, I get it. Everybody else still deciding, right? I'm sure it's all of us, right? We want to be blessed. We want to be successful. We want to succeed in life. We want to have everything that God promised for us. This is one type of reality. Another question is, why a lot of people stuck in the reality that they hate? You don't like that reality. You don't want that reality. But most Christians that I know, they cannot escape that reality. Today, guys, I'll give you the keys how to change your reality. Do you want to hear this? Do you want to know how it works? But this one is going to cost you something. About cost, we'll talk about later. So first, we're going to talk about three keys. First key, I'll touch on what is happiness, what is to be blessed, what is really to be successful. Second key, I will talk about your heart and how your heart constructs your reality. Everything you touch, everything you have, your friends, your words, your thinking, understanding, you will see how you build this. And the third key, I'll talk about how to change your reality, how to address issues, remove them, and replace them. Did you get this? Are you ready? I need your attention because stuff I'm about to tell you really, really important. All right, first key, happiness is not external, it's internal. Please understand this. We all of us, we been born to broken world, broken families, broken situation. Did you get this? Every one of us, me, you, everyone, we have unresolved pains, issues, holes in our soul. And first attack of the enemy starts when we don't address these issues. We try to plug those holes with people, money, situation, circumstances. Did you get this? Please understand. And what we create, let me tell you an example. Girl that grew up in a broken family with dad beat alcoholic dad. She has a hole. She never had a really example of what is husband, what is real father is. Did you get this, right? Just plain story. A lot of people went going through this. What is happening when she starts looking for a husband, partner in life, she will not marry a whole person. She will marry a fix to her problem. Oh, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Did you get this? Amen. At least nod with your head. I know you are alive. So I know you're at least breathing here, okay? So nod your head, at least you get this. You don't marry, and that's why I say do not jump into a ministry, do not jump into a business, don't marry until you're getting healed from the inside. Because everything, or you are born into a poor family, right? Let's say poverty, you barely scratching by. Do you know what first thing you're gonna look in a person? Does he have money? Does he have a good car? Does he have a house? What kind of bank account he has? You don't even care about personality because your problem trying to fix itself. Did you get this? Nod, all right? Nod, just do something. And that's how we know we have issues. We have issues, and a lot of people, they say like, it's not my problem. But I tell you, it is your problem. Because happiness and blessing cannot be external. Why not? Because anybody who comes into your life and fix your problem, that means he becomes part of your identity. And if you remove that identity, you lost part of yourself again. And that's how God will not allow no one to fix you. He always removed those people from your life. You will always be broken. You will always cry because someone, you're waiting for someone to come and fix your problem. But the only problem it needs to be fixed is your relationship with God. And you completely surrender yourself and say, I cannot fix this. No one can fix this. They can plug that hole for a while. And then when they see you are so needy, you don't want to let go, those people will quit on you. You see my point? Those people are not going to be alone around you because they become source of happiness. They become source of blessing. And that's called idolatry. Oh, I'm preaching good right now. Do you understand what I mean, guys? I know that's an unmistaken sound of phone falling to the floor. I know that sound. Remember Joseph. Joseph, one of the most famous story in the Bible. Joseph, betrayed, sold, betrayed again, thrown to the jail. You see one point. Why God never allowed him to step into his calling or blessing or full ministry? Because when he going through those motions, he trying to fix the problem. Remember the wine bearer? He told him, please remind Pharaoh of me. I'm betrayed. I didn't do anything to deserve this. See, and then what Bible says, everybody forget about him. Why? Because God's not going to let you out of your jail until that hole will be healed and plugged with God. Ooh. Imagine if Joseph was given a ring in unhealed situation, what he would do? Uh-huh. He will try to punish his brothers. He will try to prove something. And that's why God left him until he's going to be totally and completely surrendered to God, healed from his wounds. And then remember what Joseph was called to the ministry? When he didn't even care where he was, what he does. He just sit in the jail. And then that wine bearer remembered, I was sitting in the jail with one Jew. He told me exactly what you would do, and it happened. And Pharaoh says, let him, bring him here. Can you imagine? He asked that wine bearer, talk about his behalf to the Pharaoh. And right now, you are standing face to face with the Pharaoh, and he didn't mention a thing. Why? Completely healed and satisfied in jail. It's not about what you don't have. It's about how whole and healed and satisfied you are where you are. Until you're not gonna be a whole person, you're gonna be user. User. You know what user is? Everybody in your life, who you have, who you befriend, it's to use for your benefit. Because it's so many issues, so many holes, and those people usually angry because someone left. Because when they leave, they take part of the benefit with them that benefited you. Ooh, come on. That's why you fine. And God said, relax, let me take care of you. Because happiness is supposed to be flowing from the inside out, not from the outside in. That's how devil tried to keep you always dependent, always asking. And then what devil does? He buys you. He pays. He's like, oh, you want that? Come here. Just drop to your knees. I'll give you everything you dream of. See, that's how devil buys us. Because if you have a need and a problem, an unhealed area in your life, this is usually where the enemy at his best. Ooh, did you get anything today? We're just starting. Get ready. It's going to be interesting. Most people subconsciously search for happiness in external things, in people, relationship, money, success, or recognition. But this is deception. True happiness does not come from the outside. It is born within from the whole and healed heart. If your happiness depends on external some circumstances, people, then it can be taken away from you at any moment. And God doesn't want that. He wants you to be happy and whole, in so satisfied with your life. When God called Moses, Moses, this is your calling. That's what you wanted and prayed all your life. Moses was so happy, healed, and satisfied. He said, send my bro. Can you imagine? You, other person... Do you know what? Why most people are looking for a ministry? You don't even want ministry. You want to plug that hole of recognition, position, name, clicks. You see my point? And soon as, and God said, you don't need none of this. All you need is me. Let me heal you. Let me restore you. You're not going to even care about this. And that's why God picks people that don't care about ministry. Because are you satisfied enough that ministry will not gonna add anything to you or subtract anything from you? You have to be so satisfied that this is does not do nothing for me. This is to me, I'm so happy, I don't even need this. I'm doing this because I'm obeying God. You see my point? I'm just obedient to God, and He told me, do this, grow this, and then He will replace me. Please do. With you, and you're gonna continue to do this. Hello, I want you to be here as fast as possible. Because this does not make me more of a son, or if I lose this, less of a son. Do you understand what I mean? That means if stage gives something to you, you're not supposed to have it. Because if stage given something, that means the enemy can manipulate you. That means you're gonna behave certain way to not lose this. Amen? You're gonna sing certain way not to be removed or to be liked by people. But people who healed and whole, they don't even give a squat what you think. They're here to preach the gospel. They're here not to sing. They're here to worship God, not perform before people. Did you get this? Family, this is from my heart to you. This is some lessons that I learned early on in life, and that cost me. That's why people become restless and unsatisfied. They always want more. Believing that this time, it will finally make me happy. More money will never fix you. More girls, more this, more that will never fix anything. It just deepens hole and you have a bigger tear on the inside of you. All you need is obedience to God and say, Jesus, nothing will heal me. And you're not... Young people, please give your healed and whole version to your wife and to your husband. Don't give him that needy person that, why didn't you call me? Where were you all day? I don't want to go too deep in that. Because someone's not there when you need him. We're so satisfied. She's not calling me all day. And I'm, thank you, Jesus. Nobody bugs me. Same thing with her. I don't bother her for 24 hours. And then like check in. It's like, everything's fine. See, you have to be so satisfied. You're not supposed to look for anything to fix you. Oh, you didn't send me emoji today. What? Send yourself emoji. Chill. Relax. Let go. Let Jesus heal you. You don't even care. Did you get this point, guys? Yeah, we're laughing, but I'm making some point here. Make sure you get this. Get into the point. This leads to betrayal, disappointment, broken relationship, and constant chase for success. All attempts to fill an internal void will extend it with external things will lead to failure always. But this is the only temporary illusion that always ends up in pain. True happiness is not something you search for. It is something you must already possess within. If I'm healed and whole, when your heart is healed, when you know those people, maybe you are one of those people, when your heart is healed and healthy, you always want to give. When your heart is broken, you always want to take, because it is something inside of you need and want. That's the problem. See, this is the first lie of the enemy. So I'm finishing this point. First point, we have two more. So let me read a passage from the Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Please understand what heart is. A lot of people say human being is a spirit living in a human body and having a soul. It is right, but it's not correct. We are a human being that have human soul, human spirit, and human body. Because we created by the image of God. What is God? God is container, and inside container that called God, there is a God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Thus, whole God having three beings inside, separate beings with separate, but everything one. Who makes the decision? Not your spirit, not your soul, not your body. I make decision as the human being. I can talk to my spirit, right? Spirit will tell you, do this, don't do this. You can talk to your soul, a lot of emotions, a lot of things. You can talk to your body. What can body do? What can body cannot do? Every part of your human being has a voice and distinct personality. But who makes the decisions? You are. You see my point? You are as a human being that consists with three parts of you, soul, spirit, and body, will make the final decision. So when the Bible says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it, that means guard your human being. Because everything you allow, it will flow from it and will create your reality. All right? So let's move to the point number two. Do you get anything thus far? Do you guys get anything? You good? Mm-hmm. So, who shapes our reality? How does it work? I'll explain it to you. Just, I need your attention. You are the way you perceive the world. And your perception is formed by your heart. The heart is the center through which you perceive, evaluate, and build your life. If your heart is wounded or distorted, everything you build will also be distorted. You may not even realize it because your heart sets the standard by which you interpret everything. Let's go to an example. We think whatever's outside of us, it's reality. It is not. Reality, it's what you perceive as a reality. I will explain it this way. Please help me because I'm trying to make really complicated things, make it simple. And that it takes some. So when person decide to be resentful and unforgiving, you know those people, you know, sometimes they get hurt. And then that resentfulness, unforgiveness come into their life. And the Holy Spirit tell them, let go, forgive. But you as a human being, not listening to the Holy Spirit, not listening to your spirit, you make a decision to not like that person, to have a grudge against them, to absolutely detach yourself from that person. What happens? And this thing, that unforgiveness and resentment creates a wound or tear in your human being. Now, what happens? If for the long time, you're not listening to the Holy Spirit that tell you, let go, forgive, let go, be with me. You reject that voice of God. What God says, He steps away and you start to create your own reality. I will explain. That means everybody who comes with you needs to agree with you, needs to hate people you hate, needs to love people you love. Basically, do you know your reality has a gravity? Your reality has a gravity. Did you ever been around people that one time you hear and it's so much wound, so much pain, you're like, okay, see you later. And you feel like you tiptoe around them. You know those people? And like anything you say offensive, you will offend them. Anything you say straightforward, and you kind of guarding your mouth, guarding your thinking, because that person so hurt that you have to choose the words that you communicate. Do you been around those people? And it's called toxic. That means you have to, he demands or she demands certain way that you address them. That means you cannot speak to them like with a regular human being. Oh man, you so messed up today, bro, but I love you. You cannot say those things to the wounded person. Soon as you say, you know what, you messed up today, to them, their world falling apart. They will hate you and you will become an enemy of the enemy. That's the gravity. What that gravity creates. Please understand, I'm telling you the key how we create reality. That pain creates gravity. In that gravity, you can be with, that means you gotta have same type of a problem to even be around that person. Or if you healed, whole, and happy, you said like, I don't want to talk to those people. I love you in Jesus' name, but how you doing? I'm doing good, bye. You find yourself going around those people, make sure he's not gonna notice you. He's like, no. Why? Because the pain and the wounds and their gravity, it's trying to break you into submission. Oh, if you understand, I'm giving you the spiritual keys right now, guys. And it means I cannot freely express myself to that people because they so hurt. And everything I say, I am now becoming the enemy. Now you hurt me. Now you go to the list of my enemies. I hate you. I don't want to talk to you. Or another behavior. You always like, yeah. They are such a sucker. Yes. And you create reality, and now you have a same clique in the club of wounded people that you agree, and people, when they create that reality, your gravity will pull those people in, or you push the people that not part of this game. Push and pull, please understand, this is really interesting key right now. And soon as you say anything, you become either their inner circle or you become the enemy. Those people have no neutral ground. Either you with them or you against them. See, that's how wounded people behave. They cannot be neutral. Somebody says like, oh, you're a crazy person. He's like, no, I'm not. Because you know who you are. Do you know who's gonna be upset if somebody calls you a crazy person? Crazy person. Because you respond to who you are. Hello. Your reaction telling me of really who you are. Your reaction actually takes the clothes off of you in, you know, quote unquote, and makes you naked and visible, and I see your wounds and I try to help you. And those people create clubs and the clique and those circles that everybody who's with me gotta have the same wounds and pain as I am. You've seen those people. Gossipers, you know, people that gossip, they always surrounded by people that gossip. Soon as you start, say like, no, you are automatically kicked out of their club because you are not on that level. You don't believe what they say. And basically that's how you create reality. And then with those eyes, you perceive everybody. To you, everybody is broken, unhappy. Anybody, they say something over there, your pain will say, they talk about you behind your back. They don't even mention you. But your reality constructs. You see my point? It constructs everything. And you give name to everybody. Oh, I love that person. I cannot stand that person. And you usually see those people. They don't have a lot of people around them. They don't listen to the common sense. All they listen to people that will agree with them. And if you disagree with them, you are the enemy. Just like a broken scale gives incorrect measurements, a damaged heart creates false reality. Whew. Another example. Remember when Jews, the whole Israel, coming out of the Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. The thing that shocked me when you, what, let's identify those people who came out of Egypt. It's broken slaves. Amen. Broken, beat down slaves that ran away from their master slaves. Thank you. Basically broken down people with holes, wounds, bunch of slaves. And God telling them, now you will possess that land. He sent some spies. You know how the story goes. Those spies go. Do you know why they never possess? Because in their reality, they are slaves. They are nobody. And with those eyes, they created reality. They are so big. We are nothing. We are like a grasshoppers in their eyes. Those are giants in that land. And that thing spread, that false lie spread around Israel. And God says, you cannot come into the promised land. Because with this reality, you will lose because you already a victim. You're already a failure. See, that's why God have a promise for you, but cannot lead you there because your eyes and your reality, you will be defeated by your own creator reality. Because inside of you, you're nothing. You're nobody. Who am I? Interesting thoughts, right? From the childhood, the world tried to wound human heart through pain, rejection, and fear. And if their heart is not healed, a person begins to build life from that pain, attracting people, decisions, and situations that only deepen and the emptiness within. One more example. A child growing up in the family. and nobody complimenting him, nobody really, they love him, but don't say it, don't show it, don't hug it, just everybody going through the motions. And he grew up with the need of attention. And now any girl that comes along will say something nice, automatically will get his attention. Not because she's sent by God, but because she speaks the language that you're looking for. See, same thing the other way. Girl grew up, nobody says you're beautiful. You're so smart. You deserve the best. Basically grew up as a child. No, dad don't care. Mom never tried. Big family, a lot of children. Nobody really cared. And you know who she's going to be seduced by? Someone who say, oh, you're so beautiful. She never heard that. And that's how enemy gets you. Because you still have a hole. But soon as Holy Spirit, Jesus, heals you and restores you, and he tells you who you are, you don't need nobody to tell you who you are. He restores your identity in Christ. And now you see it, not with your pain, but you see truly for who people are. You listen to this. And I'm telling you, there was actually a real situation. And she, one of the girls come to me and said like, oh, he's so good. He's so nice. But who he is as a person? Oh, I don't know. But he told me I'm beautiful. I'm loved. I want to be with. Basically, she's been bought by words. But girls, please understand. Guys, we are. To speak something nice is like to breathe for us. That guy turned around from you, said you're most beautiful. And he said to three of your friends, same. Come on, guys, same, man. I know I'm right. Yeah, because you want to keep your options open, right? And she's already goo goo gaga. She's already have three kids in the house with you in your head. Hello, I'm preaching to somebody. See, please, especially girls, I love you with the Father's love. And please ask Jesus to heal you, because you will be like a fish catched on the hook of attention if you don't have any. Someone comes along, give you a little gift you never have, gives you like, oh, this is it? That's how much you cost? Few nice words and a gift? Oh my goodness. You are that cheap? Whew. Oh, I know I'm saying it right. I know. I've been around the block, trust me. The problem is not your actions. Problem is the source. Until the heart is restored, even the right actions will produce the wrong results. Because you're marrying that person for the wrong reason. He might be the best guy, or she might be the best woman for you, but the wrong reason, right person, and you try to demand. That's why people divorce, because she cannot handle that he basically glorifies her, and she has to basically plug that holes and do something for him, and she's not built by God to be your God. She built by God to be your helper, to be your cheerleader, to love you, but not to carry you, and always. Did you tell her today that you love her? No, you have a problem. You need to be restored, set free, and absolutely. Do you know who God chooses for the position of leadership, worship? People don't even need this. They don't look for this. And as soon as, remember Moses, beautiful story. He remember in the early days when he was part of the Egyptian family, Pharaoh's family, he wants to be a guy that set everybody free. He even killed one Egyptian, bury him in the sand and set free that Jew. And they told him like, who are you? Because he works from the wounded heart that has no identity. He tried to get his identity through his actions. This is how devil catches us. God give you your identity, and then your actions flow from your identity. You see my point? You don't act to get. You get and you act. Yeah. Remember when he was healed, satisfied, doesn't give a rip about Egypt anymore. He just tending his sheep, see that mountain burning on fire, smoke, whatever. He decided to come and look at it. That mistake number one. And he climbed, you know, goes to the mountain, see the bush on fire. You know the story. He dropped to his knees and God out of the bush told him, remove your shoes, that the land you stand is holy. And then God telling him something, Moses, this is it. You are ready. And now he's like, no, you're not going to trick me this time. Why he respond like this? Because he doesn't need anything. My question to you, next generation that God's going to use, do you need anything except God? If you do, you already setting yourself for the problem, failures, and absolute destruction, your spiritual life will go down. Because if you need anything outside of God, that means enemy has the tools to manipulate you now. That's why God holding. That's why God not letting you do anything. That's why God guarding you. Because he wants to remove the enemy's hold and grasp on you, which is your pain and your hole and your tear and your need. Soon as he healed, he's like, all you need, my child, is me. All you need is me. I remember the same thing. First church, we opened 1998. Church survived till 2000. Everything broke apart. Everybody's gone. Nobody wants to see me. And I said, Jesus, I failed. And Jesus, you know what Jesus told me? He said, you didn't even start it. Do you know sometimes you think you failed? God says, you don't even start. This is not even trial run. It's like a little taste of what God's leading you. We're just like, Jesus, my life is over. He's like, over? You didn't even start it yet. Wake up, get up. And then was 4 years, my wife remember, 4 years of pure nothingness. Nobody cares about me. And I was like, Jesus, nobody wants me. Jesus tell me, I want you. Oh, it's fine, but Jesus. And my wife tried to like cheer me up, and I'm just like crying in my office. 4 years, guys, 4 years. And then at the end of the fourth year, I got it. I got so healed because all I did 4 years, read the Bible, fast. Oh, we fasted. Who are we fasting? Jesus knows. Read the Bible, fast, pray. Read the Bible, fast, pray. Read the Bible, fast. I fed myself so much. Got healed so good. And then Jesus telling me, son, it's time. I said, no, I ain't going nowhere. Because I don't want nothing. I'm absolutely happy and satisfied like Joseph in that prison. Do you know how I know Joseph was satisfied? He didn't even mention that he wants to get out of the jail. Not a mention, not a word, nothing. He's Pharaoh. He can decide your life right now. At least mention something, Joseph. No. Here's the dream interpretation. All you need to do, O Pharaoh, find some cool dude that will do these things. Sayonara. And Pharaoh like, stop. Whoa. I think this is you. Are you sure? Yeah. See, that's who God choose. He choose the ones who don't need the things that God will use you in. Worshippers, if you need to be here and worship, you are setting yourself up for a problem. Worshippers, all they need is the corner in the house and little Bluetooth boombox. Yeah, Jesus. Yeah, whoa, Jesus. See, this is it. If I'm taking that worship and transfer to the stage, and you say like, oh, this is ministry. To God, not this is not ministry. To us, it's ministry because somebody just seeing me right now. See how I raised my hand. Everybody see it? Yeah. Ooh. I don't care about all this kindergarten things. All he looks at your heart, is God enough? Guys, this is profound question. This is will lead you to success or destruction. Is God enough? If he's enough, you're good. Now get ready. He'll equip you. He'll give you wisdom. But if he's enough, if someone tell you preach today, he's like, yes. If someone comes to you, don't preach today. You're supposed to say, yes. I'm even happier. If someone say like, sin today, yes, don't sin today. Oh, I'm not sinning today. What happened? Someone took part of your identity. Boo-hoo. Get healed. Uh-huh. Did you get something today, guys? You get this? Yeah, I'm teaching something. Let's read what Jesus said. I love this passage. I love this passage in Luke, in Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verse 45. Luke 6, 45. A good man bring good things out of the good stored up in his heart. See, let's pause right here. A good man bring good things, listen to me, out of the good stored. That means what you store in your being, that's what your heart build with. Did you get this? That means some people say like, I want to quit sin. And they fighting with sin. They don't want to do sin. Guys, please understand, we're not supposed to fight sin at all. We're supposed to let go and concentrate on God. Why? Because human being, to fight something, you have to see it and store it. Do you see where I'm going? When you're constantly battling with sin, you get up, your first things in the morning, I hope I don't sin, Jesus. You're going through life, you open the phone, oh, I don't want to sin. Oh, someone texted you, oh, I don't want to sin. You go, it's like, I don't want to sin. Do you know what you perceive? All you see, you know what people see who doesn't want to sin? Sin! Your heart. And then your heart try to build your good life. All it see, sin, don't want to sin again, don't want to sin. And your heart like, you want to build successful life? I cannot build with these bricks. But when you say, Jesus conquered the sin, like Dennis told today, he killed that thing. We're dead to it. Amen? That means stop giving your energy. Because when you think don't sin, you give to this to sin the energy. You store that stuff. You think about that stuff. Soon as you let go and say, I will worship my God. I will see him. I will look and seek his face. I will build. Basically what you do, you put the bricks inside of you. Positive, beautiful, good, happy. And then your heart can build from it. And now, if you build a nut, singing, you will find the club that does not want to sin. And everybody says, hi, my name is Andre. I am alcoholic. No, you're not. You've been set free. You see my point? And then you have a problem. You say, oh, I'm a porn addict. Oh, I'm a blah, blah. Because, and what they did, what that club did, they made this thing their identity. The whole point of this to get away from that. Change your perspective. Change your identity. You are the son of God. You're not, hi, I'm Andre, I'm porn addict. No, you're not. You are the son of God who struggles in some area, but this is not you. The problem is when you identify problem and attach your name to it. That's the problem. Detach. This is not me. It was a mistake. I am a son of God. And further and closer you get into him, further away from your problems. It's by default, guys. But when you concentrate, I'm not sinning, not sinning, not sinning, I guarantee you, you will fall. That's just given. Good man bring good stored up in his good in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks that the heart is full of. Basically, your mouth will only do, your being will only do stuff that stored. My question, what is stored in you? What can your heart or your being can build your life out of? TikTok, YouTube, some influencers, right? No, Jesus, his word, fasting, prayer, closeness, presence of God, worship Jesus, build with this. And then you will see that perspective will create different reality. You will, one day you will be shocked. You look around, there is everybody like you around you, loving God, blessing each other, you know, supporting each other, pray for each other. You see my point? You will surround yourself by default. Your heart will surround you by people like you. Because your gravity, like I say, gravity, that negative gravity, you will have a positive gravity that will pull people towards you. Did you ever been around people that you sit and you don't want to go away? You just want to sit and listen and listen. I know what I'm talking about. See, guys, be that person. Because we don't hear people. First of all, we feel people. We see their projection, their spirit, because we are really spiritual beings. Even unbelievers, they feel that, you know, even unbelievers call this a vibe. What is a vibe? Vibe, it's a projection of someone else that you feel. And he's like, he has such a bad vibe. He don't even know what he's talking about. He's feeling that person, that bad vibe, people, he don't even know what he's saying, but he feels it right. He feels there is something so negative, so toxic around these people, they call it the bad vibe. And then when they get around you, I remember those days, they like get around you, it's like, when I was working, there is no word for vibe. They say like, this is so good. They say like, there is interesting word about it. Basically, they say like, there is such an interesting atmosphere around you. And I always eat. I like to eat by myself. And they always come and sit by me. I said like, table right there. Another table right there. And I used to like listen to the Bible all the time, like audio version of the Bible. I like listen to the Bible. And they're like, I have a question. Can I eat? They drawn to something that they feel good when they, you know, like something around you that pulls people. See, and that early days, way back, God teaching me about projections and gravity and how to fix this. So stop fighting sin. Stop looking at Jesus. Stop fighting something that you cannot conquer, because you're not even supposed to fight it. Jesus already killed this. You only give this to the power when you think about it. Stop doing this. Stop filling yourself with presence of God. And then you'll see that stuff will fall away. You're not going to be part of you. You will conquer that. Just a matter of time. Let's move to part number three. I'm trying to. I like this topic, so I'm sorry. It's this. Number three. How we do this. We understand what happiness, we understand how we create reality, now how to fix all of this. A healed heart is the key to real life and real happiness. You cannot truly change your life until God changes and heals your heart. Everything you do is simply a reflection of what is inside of you. Everything around you, it's basically a mirror to you. Your neighborhood, your friends, everything you do, it's like mirroring you. Because why? Because if you feel comfortable around this, that means it's part of you. If you don't feel comfortable in the neighborhood you live in, you move out. Amen? If you don't feel comfortable around people that cuss and use God's name in vain and drink, if you feel comfortable around them, this is you. I'm not talking about coming there to preach the gospel and then, you know, then do your thing. I'm not talking about this. We have to go. We have to say those things. But I'm saying when you sit and you feel comfortable and people drink, cuss, talking some nonsense, garbage out of their mouth, and you're like, fine. That means nothing inside of you resists this. That means it's part of your identity. That means it's comfortable to you. And that's why nothing's changed. Tell God, show me what is right in your eyes. Show me what you detest and hate, so I will detest and hate them. Same thing. Not the sinners, but the sin, right? We have to understand that. We have to understand what is the human being and what the actions is. Many try to change behavior, achieve success, or prove something, but without healed heart, it only produces external change without true and real transformation. What happens? Happens what most influencers do. They name this thing like this: fake it till you make it. Which is absolute lie. You cannot fake it till you make it. You're supposed to make it. You're supposed to get healed. And that's supposed to basically fake it till you make it. You live a lie. You live a pretend life. It's not true. And what people see, it's a lie. You are a lie. What you show in your Instagram page or TikTok is a lie. Everything around you, it's fake. That's why it's not working. God says, let me in your life, I will heal your heart, and you will see how everything normal will appear. Everything, you're not gonna fight, you're not gonna struggle. It's just everything inside of you will reflect on the inside. God will give you person that you, your projection and your gravity will pull. That girl will sit around you and say like, I want to spend the rest of my life with this person. Not because he's handsome, maybe he is, but because he projects something and she feels loved, comfortable, protected. You see my point? She feels something. It's not like you plug in a hole or you're doing something. No, they feel something around you that they didn't feel around anybody. See, that's how God wants to give you this. God works on heart first. Because it is the source of all decisions and actions and direction of your life. When the heart is healed, a person no longer lives from need, fear, and emptiness. They begin to live from fullness, from love, peace, and confidence in God. See, it's not needy person. You come to him, you want to be with people like that. Because they don't need nothing from you. All you feel is like being ministered to. You've been around those people. Anytime you sit with them, you got something from God. Anytime they use their talent or gift, you feel like something get unseen. God give you something that you never had. Basically, those people is nothing but heaven flowing through them. But heaven only really flow through people that healed. If you're not healed, you will take whatever flows and use it for your ego and your gain. That's why God not allow people to use it, because they will abuse it. They will for sure abuse it. I'm finishing, guys. At that point, you are no longer searching for happiness. You are become a source of it. That's what I want to be. I want to be the source of happiness for my wife, for my family. I don't want, you know that usually families, oh, dad is coming, hide. Dad's home, something else, he's going to beat the crap out of me right now. He's going to ask about my homework, why your room is not clean, and you're like, oh. But there is a difference when, oh, dad is home. See my point? Dad's home. Or daddy's home. Because he brings something to you. Not just come into a room and takes it. Chop you into little pieces. But I understand those people not healed themselves and they try to fix something that they cannot fix. Only God can fix. But please understand this structure, how everything works. Happiness, never from outside. It's from within. Then step number two, how reality created. Whatever you bring, concentrate, that's what's stored. And then you build from it. If you don't like what you build, that means you're storing something wrong. Your storage full of stuff that God cannot use to build anything. That means you repent and you say, God, I'm grateful. Please heal me, change me, restore me, show me the way, and I will do it. And then you start to fill yourself with God's energy, God's blessings, and you start build from it. One more example, and I'm wrapping up. Remember, there's two sons. That proverb, everybody knows that proverb that Jesus told to his disciples. There is an older son and a younger son. Younger son took inheritance. Remember that one, right? And he went away to the faraway land and squandered everything. Bible says with prostitutes, drinking, partying, basically just destroying everything that God gave him. And look at this. He sits and there is a bunch of pigs, and he eats out of whatever pigs eat. And see, that's how reality, he created that reality. And then one thought, there is something better. But what you need to do, you need to physically step out of stuff that is not part of you. You cannot stay there and change. Do you know the first mistake of people? They say like, I'm not gonna move, God's gonna change whatever this is. No, you're deceiving yourself. If this is the pigs and all of this nonsense, you're supposed to get up and get out. What happened? Same guy with the same problem moves from one spot to the other. Not literally, nothing changed. He's the same guy. He just said like, I'm gonna relocate. Same guy from nothing. Become prince again. Shoes, robe, his ring on his finger. He's proclaimed, my son is back. They have the biggest party ever for the my son is back. See, same thing. Just he just decided to change whatever this is, step out of it, and that thing completely, absolutely transformed his reality. Amen? Did you get this? See, and that's why some of you got saying, you not get out from that relationship. Stop calling that person. Block and delete that contact. Destroy that website. Just get away from the things because you cannot remain there and grow in God. You're supposed to step out. Let God heal you. You have no idea because when God heals you, that means he brings healed people to you. That means you will have healed family. Your ministry will bring healing and restoration. You no longer need, do you know how many pastors, they're not healed. Their ministry is to something to gain, to have identity. They fight with another churches down the street. They preach against each other. Come on. Well, they're allowed to preach about Jesus. I don't care what's down the street. I love all churches. If your church called by God's name and you believe in Christ and his blood, you are my brother. I don't even care what you think about me, right? Why? Because this is not my source of identity. What those people told about me. I don't care what they told about me. I really care what Jesus is telling me about me in my prayer time. That's serious. Let's just read one more passage and I'm done. That's why, guys, the focus should be on changing the world around you, not on the changing world around you, but allowing God to restore your heart and your perception and your world. It's already it will flow from that. That's what we think. Like, oh, I hate my reality. You created it. I hate people around in my life. They're all nasty. They all go. This is your reality. You created it. And I love this. What David, it's part of his prayer. I love this passage. It's Psalm 139, 23. Psalm 139, 23. Search me, God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if any wicked way is in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. It's so beautiful. That means David, don't see, sometimes we so much we got caught in our reality, we don't even see that this is a problem. That's why you need to cry out to God, Jesus, please see my path. What is it, path? Sometimes you're on a highway and you don't know where it leads, but God knows this is the wrong highway. And sometimes people say, like, God, change me. God says, no, no, change your way. Get out of this freeway. That's why God is not concentrated on changing your little bitty things. He takes you and turn you around 180 degrees, put you on another path, on another highway that will lead you to life everlasting. And this is it, guys. This is the key. True transformation does not begin on outside. Never did, never will. It begins within, in the heart that is healed and grounded in God. Did you get something today? Give Jesus a praise, man. Thank you, Jesus. I hope you get some keys, because to me, it was really life-changing when God gave me this lesson early in my life, and then everything in my life changed. Let's get up. Can I get someone on the key? Yeah, thank you. Just close your eyes, and I'll open the altar, guys. If anyone, you see, you're fighting something, and you're feeling like you're losing that battle. And I'm asking you guys, if you're not afraid, just come, and our guys will pray for you, because we all, guys, please understand, we all go through this. You are, there is nothing that is like, oh, I have a problem. Please understand, we all go through this. Yeah, just come up front. If you felt that this word was specifically to you, something touched you, don't ignore, it's the Holy Spirit, just come. If it's one, it's good. Pray for him, lay hands, just be with him, because God is trying to say something to you. Don't be afraid. There is nothing here but support and love, guys. We that family that trying to get you better. We are cheering for you. Close your eyes and just ask God to search your heart. Please take this lesson, apply it to your life, and just really search your heart. Jesus, am I really here for you? Nothing else. Is God enough, or there is always a need in something else? And if you see, Jesus, some wound or tear or pain in my life, I'm asking you, please heal me. Take it away. I'm freely, I'm giving this. I will not fight for this. I will not hold on to this. This is my enemy. I don't want it. I want to see you. I want to concentrate on you. I want to love you. I want to adore you, glorify you, worship you. I don't want to fight something. I don't even think about it. Yes, we make mistakes, but this is not your identity. Mistake you made, you are not a mistake. Just ask Jesus for forgiveness. He'll give you strength. But please concentrate on him. Draw strength from him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for everything you do in this house. And I pray for our young generation. Please let them be better than us. Let them be wiser than us. Let them be deeper than us than we ever be. Let them take this stage in the right time and lead Jesus, this city to revival. Lead this city to the spiritual harvest. We're praying for souls. Give every and each of these sons and daughters a vision, a purpose. and let our hearts be healed, restores. And when people come to us, they will always feel presence of God. There is always healing will flow from our spirit to theirs. They will feel comfortable. They will feel affirmed, loved, taken care of. They will feel that we're not using nobody. We're just giving part of God's heart to whoever comes. We're here to serve. We're here to minister. We're here to do what Jesus did. Love, minister, help. Thank you so much, Jesus. I love you and I pray for this generation. In the name of Jesus. And everybody say, amen. Give Jesus a shout. Woo. Thank you, God. Just give somebody a hug. Bless someone. Love you guys. We'll see you next time. Don't miss prayers. Prayers are on fire, guys, right now. So don't miss prayer meetings. Fridays, 8 p.m. Bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye.